Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace. Let me open us up in prayer. Father, I just thank you for our time today. Lord, I just ask your presence to come and just to fill this place. God, I pray that your spirit would rest on every person here. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, just to shed off all the things from outside, all the cares and concerns of the world, all the things that would seek to distract us, all the things that would seek to deter us, Lord, from where our focus needs to be right now. That you would just shed all those things off, Lord, that your peace would just rest on us. That you would just bring our minds in tune with you to experience you in your fullness today. To have you do what you want to do with us to the full extent that you want to do it. Lord, just come have your way. Come have your way in our time. And I just ask this in Jesus' name. Well, today you're in for a treat. You know, we have a guest speaker. So he's no stranger to us. And it's Shandy. So Shandy, why don't you come on up here? You know what, Rachel, why don't you come up with him? Because you guys are like a team.
You are a team.
You're married. You're married. You are a team. I mean, they're a team in marriage and they're a team in ministry. Yeah. So anyway, I know he's going to share. I don't know what you're going to do, but I just want to pray for them, and then we'll just unleash them on you and on you on Facebook. So Lord, we just we thank you for Shandy and Rachel. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you bless them. Father, I just pray that you would just give them everything that you want to do through them this morning. Father, just we pray for your anointing. We pray for the words, Father, the revelations, all the things, Lord, that you want to pour out onto us through them, God. Just give them in full measure. Father, I just pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would protect them. I pray that you would just break off any assignments against them, Father, that you would just remove all distractions, all hindrances, Father. I pray, Lord, that they would just have a clear, unrestricted path, Lord, in their connection with you, to just flow unhindered in this time, and not just in this time, but even after we're done today, and as they go about their day and the days from now, Lord, that you would just bless them, that you would just, you know, continue to keep that connection, remove all those hindrances, Father. Just bless them. Come have your way, God, with them and with us. And we just give you all the glory. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Two mics? Oh, okay. All right. Hello, everyone. Hello. Hello, Facebook world and elsewhere. All right. Bring up my notes. All right. All right. Rach, would you come up here and make sure it stays on? So, sometimes she's my Apple person. I'm an Android person. I can get around, but she knows Apple a lot more. So, hello, everyone. It's great to be here. Texas is hot, and I know you saw me a couple weeks ago, but I didn't speak, but yes, we live in Texas, and it's hot right now. So we're glad to be in California. I stood outside last night, and I was glad to be cold. I was standing out there going, I don't know, like, I just want to be out here and just kind of freeze for a little bit. Maybe I can just, like, carry the temperature a little bit with me to Texas. So, you got it? Let's see. What else? Let me pray, and then we'll get going. I just like waiting on the Lord. And you know, one of the things that I'll share, if you haven't heard me speak, I sometimes will share in stories and concepts and also specifics. But if you go, man, what was he really saying? What did he hit the mark? You're going to all, at times, I expect you as believers to ask the Lord to take you deeper. This is not, I'm not just going today, sometimes preachers do, sometimes we don't, give you the food and you take and you eat it and you're like, oh, that was complete meal. And other times it is that we're presenting something with the Lord and it's, okay, now time to cut into the meat, time to cut into the, and ask the Lord and take you deeper into it. So I hope that you take the journey with me in walking with the Lord in that. And if I go too quick, I'm going to go through a lot of verses today. And yes, I do move. Sorry for Facebook world. But I will try to stay in one spot for a little bit. But I really do like to pace, but I'll try not to. I will be going through a lot of passages, so get ready to, if you're turning quick, you can turn quick, or you can just believe that it's there and just kind of go with it. So, if you're taking notes, please write quick, because I will be going quick with it, but at least that's what I think. So Holy Spirit, I thank you so much for just your word and your way. I thank you for opening our hearts to what you want to say, what you want to do. No matter if that's what you've prepared on my heart to say and speak, or if it's something totally different, I ask that you would speak to your people. Draw them closer to you. May they go deeper in your presence. May they go deeper in your relationship with you and hear your voice clear. We honor your presence here. We value you. Say, come, Holy Spirit, have your way. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. So today, I'm going to talk about prepared for promise. I felt like the Lord told me, he said that this is, he told me when I was preparing, he goes, prepare my people for promises to be fulfilled. That this is an hour that God wants to fulfill promises that have been long ago given and you've been waiting for. Or promises even recently that you've been waiting for. And this is an hour, it's a strange hour to live in all this turmoil, all this stuff going on in the world. And yet, you know, Jesus came in the midst of turmoil. He became the answer to fulfillment of prophecies in the midst of turmoil. He came in the midst of Israel being dominated by another country. It wasn't a pleasant time. Jesus actually came with in a way that they didn't even expect. Proverbs 13:12, we'll get into that a little bit more, but Proverbs 13:12, if you want to turn there, I'm going to flip. 13:12, it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." But a tree, but a, what is it? 13:12, here we go. "But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life." I believe there's a lot of people, maybe even in here, maybe on Facebook that's watching, that your heart has been sick because you haven't had, God has given you something to hope for, something to believe for, and it hasn't happened yet. And yet your heart is in turmoil because He hasn't fulfilled the very thing He promised you. It didn't. Maybe it didn't come at the right time. Maybe it didn't. It's past the way past the time. I mean, if you look at Israel, Isaiah, prophet Isaiah. You want to talk about prophets today? Isaiah the prophet prophesied about a Messiah that didn't show up in his lifetime. If you want to call a prophets that prophesy something and it doesn't show up in their lifetime or their timing or what you think should be their timing, and they prophesy something and then you call them a false prophet because it doesn't show up the way you think it should show up, or it doesn't show up the way they perceived it might show up, but it still may be the Lord. If you call them false prophets, you also have to call Isaiah a false prophet. Just saying, I love prophets today, and we've been abused and hit in all kinds of ways. But we still do need to judge the word of the Lord. But you, as people of God, we got to also consider that the word of the Lord may be delayed or may be paused or may be not even for that life, for your lifetime. I don't know how many times I've heard prophetic people, when they get older, about 70 or 80, they start prophesying about the end times. How Jesus is coming back soon. Well, it's true. Jesus is coming back soon for them. They're going to meet Jesus soon. And they think that it is a prophetic word for the whole body of Christ because they're coming soon to meet Jesus. So we get to perceive and judge prophetic words not rightly. Anyways, I got a little off key, but we'll get back on track. So Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Psalms 34:4, turn there. I like reading out of paper. 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. This is where we're going to go. God wants to answer the desires of your heart, but it takes delighting in Him. It takes, and when we delight in Him, when we enjoy Him, when we get into His Word, what does that do? It takes off the fluff. It takes off all the stuff that isn't really our desires, but we think it is. You may have desires that you're praying for, but God isn't going to answer, may not answer those things because it's not really what you need or what you really want. You just may think it is. God is actually for your best. You know, the scripture in Matthew 7, 8 through 9, it says that, talks about that if we ask God for bread, He's not going to give us a stone. Right? But if we think we're asking for bread and we're really asking for a stone, God's not going to give us a stone. He's going to wait until we ask Him for bread. Did you get that? So He's going to uncover our view that the stone is not actually bread. He's going to uncover that desires, those hurts, those pains, those things from Hollywood, those things from news, from anything that we perceive that, oh, it just got layered. He's going to uncover that so that we can actually ask for the very thing that we need and the very thing we desire. But because the enemy and the world and all of this stuff, the news and everything, the way we grew up, good or bad, gets in there and tries to filter what we really want. We may be asking for that stone when we really need bread. And the very thing that we may be asking for is the very thing that may be going to kill us. Try eating a stone for breakfast. There's a chance it'll kill you. And God's not after killing us. He's after our best. Right? John, 1 John 4:8. It says, God is love. This is who God is. God is love. 1 Corinthians 13:6. It says that what love is, does not seek its own. And I might have shared this before. God doesn't seek his own. So if God doesn't seek his own, if God is love and love doesn't seek its own, guess who God seeks the best for? Does he seek the best for himself? Is he looking for his own will? Chew on that for eternity. I keep chewing on that. That is something I just don't, my mind doesn't get it. Maybe I will get it more when I'm a parent, but my mind doesn't get it. How could God, the creator of the universe, the God that knows what's best for everybody and could say what love is. How could love, he say that love doesn't seek its own? And say that he's love. He could have said love is something different and we would have said genius. So, God doesn't seek its own. So, when I share some of the things that I'm about to share, I want you to keep in mind that God is after your best. And your best. And your best. He is not after stripping away all the things that you want to do. And, oh, he's a bad father. No, he's a good, good father. He is so good that he's not going to give you a stone when you ask for one. And you think you're asking for bread. He's not going to give you a serpent when you ask for fish. So we're going to dive into 4 stories in the Bible that we are going to focus on. I'm going to get through it quick. I'm just going to tell you the passage. 1 Samuel 16. This is where David is anointed as king. What? 1 Samuel 16. This is where David is anointed as king. And David's journey, he gets anointed as king. I love David. He's one of my favorite guys in the Bible. I often refer to him. David is anointed as king, and he would go through a journey to get to be king. He couldn't even, when he got anointed as king, he couldn't even celebrate. His family couldn't even celebrate because the reigning king at the time would have killed them. Like that, the prophet, Samuel, the prophet of the nation, the one that anointed Saul as king, is going, we better do this in the back room, because if Saul finds out, we're all dead. The one that anointed him as king, he's going, yeah, I know where he's at. He's gonna be after us. And This is the situation. David gets anointed as king, and then he gets thrown, he gets back into the, you know, I've said this before here, he gets anointed as king, and then the next thing you find, he's back in the meadow watching sheep, right? I would think that would be a place. I would go, you know, brothers, you know, I just got anointed as king. I got to learn how to do kingly things. Somebody else go out there. Like, someone else go out there, please, because I need to learn. Shepherding is for people that are going to be shepherds. I stopped that position. I just got told that's not where I'm headed. That's not my career path. I better stop. No, David ends up being out there. He ends up learning valuable lessons. And I don't know, David doesn't say this. He doesn't, but I put myself in his shoes. And I go, this is the moment. I got anointed as king. This is the promise from the prophet. And the last time he anointed someone as king, he became king. That was the last thing. Saul gets anointed as king. Ba-boom. He's a king. So I don't know if David had those thoughts of, this is my moment. But he's back in the shepherd. Then he gets invited to play the harp for the king. And he's in a position to, I would think, to say, well, I'm getting prepared. Saul's about to say, hey, I like you. You're good. You play, help bring peace. Let me train you in the ways of royalty. This is the moment. God was prepared me for it. No, no, no. He still ends up back in the pasture. Well, then he cuts off the giant's head, Goliath. He marries into the family. He gets tax-free money for his whole family. He gets riches. He becomes best friends with the king's son. This is the moment. I would imagine, at least for me, if I'm in that position, I would be thinking, okay, this is the fulfillment of what God's told me. Right? He anointed as a king. The promise happened. Here's the word of the Lord. It's going to happen. I'm in the palace. I'm eating with the king. I'm learning the king's ways, how to do things. It's only a matter of time before Saul goes, you're my replacement, aren't you? I am winning battles. David was winning battle after battle after battle for the Lord, but for Saul. Battle after battle after battle. This is the moment. Saul's going to see me. He's going to see me, and I'm family, so it makes sense that he's going to be like, oh, you're the one. God's anointing is on you. But instead, Saul goes, you're the one, and I'm going to kill you. Not the recipe that I would think, as I'm like, okay, God, you're setting me up. You're setting me up for the fulfillment of your word. I'm in the house that you've called me to stay and rule from. And then he ends up running for his life. He ends up not just running for his life from his father-in-law. He ends up sparing his father-in-law's life twice. You'd think after the first time, Saul would have been like, oh yeah, that's David. I better not kill him. Because that's what he turned back. David spares his life. Saul goes, oh, you're my son. You're David. I love you. Ding, the light bulb comes on. Oh yeah, I like you. Nope. Months later, Saul's back to trying to kill David again. And David wouldn't start to take his rule until Saul was killed in battle. Now, David could have thought that his rulership was limited to his mighty men. This is the fulfillment. I have all these mighty men, and I'm kind of the leader, so you could like downgrade the word of the Lord to meet your circumstances and go, hey, this is what's happening. He didn't mean the whole Israel. He just meant this pack. David didn't do that, but I could see that that could be tempting if you let your heart get hurt and hope deferred gets in there and you go, God, are you ever going to answer this? Are you ever going to bring this about? Maybe I need to make this happen. Another example with that. So David watched over his heart. He was very diligent. I mean, he did have some issues with his kids and down the road more. But David watched over his heart. He didn't throw in the towel when it got hard. He stayed the course. And one of the things with when God gives us a word and says, hey, we're going to go this way. We're going to do this. You're going to see this happen in your life. Whatever measure it is, there may be a journey that God has you to go on that may not be what you expect, may not be what you think should happen. It may actually be the opposite of what you think you should be going. And you may have opportunities that may look like they're the answer to the very thing that God's promised. But will you wait and be patient and know that God is walking with you no matter what it looks like? He'll bring it about. And He's preparing you. He's setting you up for success. He's for your best. Genesis 16, 1 through 2. This is the story of Sarai, Abraham's wife. Abraham gets this promise, right? He gets this promise. You're going to be the a father of nations. You're going to be a father of all these people. Many as the stars in the sky. And Sarai, his wife, learns of this, and she's old. I don't know if she tried to do the math or anything like that, but she's old, and she tries to fulfill the word by telling her husband Abram at the time, to have sex with their servant, so the word would come about. And we know what happened with that. We're still dealing with Ishmael and Isaac brood, family fighting to this day. And one of the things, this is not a fear tactic or something like that, but it is just a warning, a wake-up call. We're not called to limit what God has called us. We're not trying to make logic of it. Sometimes we try to make logic. Oh, God, I'm too old, but I could make this happen. We're not called to make something happen that God said that will. On your shoulders. If God says it, it is not on your shoulders. Yes, He may require you to walk alongside of Him in it, but He's not required you to make it happen. You guys okay? Okay. Holy Spirit, we thank you. So number one is there may be a journey. When God promises you something, there may be a journey along on the road. And one of the reasons why I'm sharing these things is to help you prepare your heart and give you eyesight of maybe what journey you're on right now. And the process that God's brought you through or is bringing you through, and it may not be timeline. So this, whenever, like David's journey took 40, probably some of the 30, 40 years to become king. It wasn't a short thing. But God's timeline, he can make it go really, really quick or long. It doesn't, we can't judge, hey, this is the journey I'm on, so it's going to take X amount of time. It could happen in an instant. And I feel like he's going to speed things up for his people in this hour to see promises fulfilled that may have not even been for this hour, but is if you'll say yes to him. Another, so don't try to make it happen. It's not a good plan. Not a good plan. Problems happen. Things go wrong, askew, when we think we know how to make something happen that God says will happen. 1 Samuel 1. 1 Samuel 1, yes. It's the story of Hannah. And Hannah is... she is praying for a baby. Her womb is closed, and she's praying for a baby. And the priest of the day, Eli, comes and hears her wail. He doesn't hear her wail. He sees her mouth moving, but nothing's coming out. And he thinks she's drunk, so he rebukes her. And she says, no, I'm praying for a son. And Eli goes, all right, and blesses her and says, you can go on your way. It's done. And Hannah has a baby, and her womb has been closed. She's been desiring this for years. Her sister, there was two wives going on. In this scene, and the other wife, she's having babies like left and right, and Hannah can't have one. And she's been praying, and her response to God fulfilling the word of the Lord in her life, she has a baby, she says, God, I will keep her for a certain amount of time, and then I'm going to give the baby to you. And in order to facilitate what God has for us, we may be carrying a promise that God has for somebody else. We may be desiring something in our life to happen that really, when it comes about, it's actually for somebody else. God will have us carry things and do things and pray for things that we think is ours, but it's actually for somebody else. And we get to be prepared as when he answers to say, Jesus, I know I'm going to keep my hands open. I know if you want this for somebody else, you'll show me it. If you want me to have it, you'll show me it. But if we're like, oh, it's mine, we blind ourselves to the possibility that God may have this for somebody else, and he may have a blessing on the backside for me. And he may be calling at any time. It's God calls at all kinds of times. So the fourth thing I will just say, thank you. The fourth thing is Israel. Israel is Israel is a he has a journey, that they have a journey about having God tell them, I'm going to take you to the promised land. Right? Israel has a journey. They're in Egypt. I believe one of the things that traps the people of God, myself and especially Israel, is when God moves us into a position, has us do something, we get comfortable in that position so long that we stay in that position too long. And God has to move situations on our behalf so that we'll move out of the very thing that we were only there for a certain amount of time. And God will do that. Israel, I believe, stayed in Egypt way too long. Egypt went from a blessing to a problem. And a very, very much in our life, if we aren't careful, we'll stay in a blessing so long that it becomes a problem. And Israel found themselves in that place. And Israel and Egypt, Israel's in Egypt, and they're stuck there. And you know the story. Moses comes along, signs and wonders. They get out, and I'm thinking to myself that we're going to go straight to the promised land. We're going to get straight there, and we've been through all this hardship. We've been through all this tough turmoil. And God now has got us out of Egypt. We're going to be smooth sailings from here on out, right? Because we've just left a really hardship. And no, God didn't give us straight at the promised land. They went the long route. And by the time they get to the promised land at the edge, I don't know if you've thought about this, but I thought about this, that I think maybe they sent the spies in there thinking, well, we'll just send the spies in just to check out the land and make sure it's all cleared out. Because we've been through all this stuff. We've been through the Red Sea. We've been through battle after battle after battle. Of course, God is not going to have people stay in our land. And yet the report was, hey, there's giants. It's flowing with milk and honey, that's for sure, but there's giants in the land. I don't know, that probably brought discouragement to a lot of people. Their expectations were this. We get to, with the Lord, get to watch our expectations to make sure they match on Him and not what we think the circumstances should be. And because Israel thought it was just about them, right? They thought it was just about them. But God was positioning them. I don't know if you're aware of this. God was positioning them, the country of Israel, in the middle of the world, in the middle of the main trade route. The world went through that area. The world would want that area. The world would be jealous for that area. So if God had brought Israel there without any battles, nothing, they just set up camp, do you think that they would be prepared for the very battles that would come, not just in their generations, but the generations to follow? They would have to be prepared. Not only that, they would be blessing the whole world. They'd be influencing the whole world. They would have to hold on to a culture that the world didn't hold on to. And they were somewhat successful, somewhat, a lot not. But they had to hold on to this. This is, Israel didn't have a clue about what was coming. Didn't have a clue about the onslaught of the enemy and the blessing the world and all of this stuff that would happen from generation to generation to generation to generation. And they thought, Jericho, not another one. We can't take this. But they had to know that God was for them and not against them. They had to know that God really loved them, that they could take out any giants that faced them, any battle that would face them. They had to know this. Because now the world is going to be focused on them. There's now going to be jealousy even more on them. And it's not just because they're the people of God. It's because they are in the middle of the world on the main trade route. And in our life, it's not just Him fulfilling promises in our life just for us, but it may be for others around you, maybe for your community, maybe for your family. And what God is preparing you and has prepared you for in this season, it may not just be for you. But what circumstances will do, hardships will do, is will train you and equip you and strengthen you with the Lord if you let Him, But the danger is that you'll start to look at the hardship and go, woe is me. This is about me. I'm just having to push through this. I'm having to do this. Oh my gosh. Right? Is anyone following me? If we dictate what the Lord means, we will run the risk of missing the fulfillment because we think it needs to be a certain way. It's God's word, not yours. Remember that. It's God's word and God's interpretation. It's not yours. We may, you know, if God says, I'm going to make you rich and wealthy, to God's terminology, that could be $10 more in your account or $10 billion. Because he doesn't need money. He can make bazillion dollars from a penny. And when he says, I'm going to make you rich, that $10 is, will you steward that the way I've called you so that things start happening? Or will you look at it as small because you are, your perspective needs to grow? Because you think you've interpreted God's going to make you rich, and you think they interpreted that means X or that means Y. And God knows exactly what you need. God knows exactly what you are desiring. When he says things, he knows exactly what he means. I'll tell you a story. My wife and I had a word about that someone was going to be our chauffeur us around for a season. So Rachel and I, my wife, we both were like, okay, well, whenever that happens, it's, you know, like, I'm thinking limousine, I'm thinking nice car, thinking these things. I'm like, oh, yeah, I mean, I'm like, that's practical, then I can pray for the city. I made practical sense of why God wanted to do that, because pray for the city, worship, get discernment, do stuff intercessorily while I'm riding, do maybe make phone calls or just be able to do more than just drive. And I multitask a little bit when I drive, but there'd be more able to do it when I'm not. So that's where my brain was. So we moved to Texas. We moved to Texas without a car. And we're Ubering around for like months. We're sitting in the car. We're sitting in the back car of a stranger's car. They're driving us somewhere. And my wife turns to me and goes, this is the fulfillment of the word. We're getting chauffeured around. Now, it didn't match the way I thought it would match. Neither did it for my wife. But it was a fulfillment of the word. We did get drove around for a season by other people that allowed us to pray, allowed us to actually minister to our drivers. We saw people get healed. We saw people get brought back to the Lord. It was a really good blessing time. We prophesied over people, but it was not what we thought it would be. So when we're looking at the promises that God's given us, my encouragement is that we ask the author of the promise to tell us what it means. Because maybe we think it means one thing and it doesn't. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, seek, and find. Asking, it will be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. Ready? And we're his kids. And I know when I talk about that there can be a journey. There can be, Hannah, we got to be ready to give it up. And that we can't make it happen, and Israel being having an unexpected journey go on, that you go, well, does God answer anything the way I want? God's after your best. And He actually, what I'm talking about is He's undoing the layers of the world off of your heart so that you can really get what you really desire. So you're not eating a stone. So you're eating bread that nourishes you, that keeps you and gets you going. When I was 17, I was walking by a BMW dealership in Brazil. And I was walking there, and I looked and said, Daddy God, can I have one of those? I didn't have a car. I was like, can I have one of those? And I had three responses that God could give me. I didn't know there was a fourth. But three responses. Yes, no, wait. Right? Yes, no, wait. So I'm waiting to hear one of those three answers. And He says something else. He says, are you sure you want a BMW? And I thought, step back. I was like, huh? What do you mean, am I sure I want a BMW? That wasn't part of the three things that you could say. But He's after my heart. He's after the desires in my heart. And it would take me 10 years to wrestle and to go and to look at different cars and go, Daddy, what about that one? I'd never ask for it, but I'd just talk. I'd think about, oh, maybe this one, or maybe the Audi, maybe the Mercedes, maybe the Honda, maybe I just would go down the list 10 years, and God would provide cars for me to drive, which I was grateful for, but I didn't own any of them. And 10 years down the road, I got into the business world, I'm in the professional world, and I'm like, God, I need a professional car. I wasn't driving a professional-looking car. I was driving a car that didn't match the world I was in. And I said, God, I want a 2008 Honda Accord with everything stick. I want leather seats. I want moonroof, sunroof. I want every to the T, I asked, because I knew exactly what car I wanted. I knew the reasons why I didn't want an Audi. I knew the reasons why I didn't want a Mercedes. I knew the reason why I didn't want a Tesla. I just, down the list. And here's the funny thing, is I asked for that, and then about a month into it, I had a friend that offered me a 1990s in that era, like 93 BMW. White BMW, and it looked like, you know, the business world. I'm like, okay, I could try this and not feel like I'm setting off bad impressions right off the bat. And because a car sometimes is your uniform, and I would need it as a uniform. And I prayed about it, but it had a tape deck. The seats weren't comfortable. It's going to be expensive to replace parts, all of this stuff. I was like, I don't think it's the Lord. But here is the temptation. God presented me this. It wasn't the enemy. God will present you things that will, opportunities, gifts, surprises, positions. He will do it to say, are you, not so that you will take advantage of them, but that you will learn and grow and with the Lord. I said no. 2 weeks later, the car got, I didn't do it, the car got totaled. And for about a month, I was going, the enemy would come at me. That was your car. Why didn't you take the car? That was your car. You had the car. And I didn't really have any rebuttal to the enemy, but shut up, enemy. Go away. I didn't have anything. I didn't really like, okay. I wasn't confident. I just said, shut up, enemy. And within 3 months of when I asked for the car, I had the car. Exactly what I asked for. Through a weird situation. But it still happened. And I want you to know that God is after your desire, your heart. Sometimes it takes a while to uncover the layers of things that really is not what you desire. But He is after the desires of your heart. And when we're looking, Israel, we'll go back to Israel real quick. You guys all right? Okay. Israel had a promise from God. They had a promise from God about the Messiah coming. But much of Israel would miss the Messiah because they had expectations and they interpreted the word of the Lord poorly. The Messiah showed up. Jesus showed up in a turmoil time. Showed up in a manger. Showed up not in the way they thought it would come. And much of Israel would miss the very thing that they were praying for generation after generation after generation, because their expectations were not on what God said, but what they expected, how it should show up. They interpreted the word of the Lord based upon what they thought should happen, not based upon what God is saying. I don't know about you, but I've done this. But I want you to know that, God, there's grace, but it's His word. The author of this book is God, not you. The author of the prophetic word, if it's God's word towards you, the author of the promise that He's given you is not you. The enemy will trick you and think you have to get it by your own efforts, attain something, but is not yours to attain. It's yours to walk with. And so today, I'm going to just pound on this point. But today, I just want to encourage you. This is the hour and the time that God is going to fulfill promises. We have to allow the Lord to shift our heart, to watch, to adjust things that we thought were one way that may be another way. So that we come in line and we go, oh, here it comes. We're ready to celebrate. Oh man, there's giants in the land. But God promised us this land. And if He's promised us, we will see the giants conquered. Why? Because He has promised them. Amen? And I want you to know, either there will be distractions. There will be things that will draw your attention away. There will be things that will want you to look one way. I'll share one last story, just interesting. I find this last story. Elijah and Elisha. Elijah tells Elisha. Elijah is the senior prophet. Elisha is the kind of the rookie. The protege. And Elisha asks Elijah, can I have your mantle when you go, you're about to go to heaven, you're about to go, can I have what's on your life? And Elijah tells Elisha, if you see me go up, then it's yours. And you see this moment where Elijah keeps telling Elisha, just stay here. Just go, stay over here. Elisha's like, no, I'm going to go to the bathroom with you. I'm going to, I'm not leaving your side. Wherever you go, I go, because I'm going to see you go up. And you have this moment, and this Elijah's about to go up, and this chariot of fire comes in the middle of Elijah and Elisha. Doom! And a lot of people may think that Elijah went with the chariot of fire, but Elijah wasn't taken up by the chariot of fire. The chariot of fire, I believe, was a distraction to see if God distraction to see if Elisha was willing to keep his eyes on Elijah. Would he keep his focus on what God's told him to keep his focus on, or will he even let something miraculous distract him? Right? And this chariot of fire comes in the middle, and then Elijah gets taken up in a wind after. The question I will say to you is, even God will distract us to say, not to bring harm, but to say, hey, are you willing to keep your eyes on what I've called you to keep your eyes on? Are you going to get distracted on the things that even I will send to say, strengthen your heart? Because you're going to need this for where you're going. So, in my closing thoughts, God is He's after our best. Are you willing to allow Him to take off any layers, anything, expectations on these things, so that the very thing that He wants to do in your life comes about? Are you willing to allow Him the journey to walk with Him, to see the very things that you may need training in happen in your life so you can see victory? Are you willing to carry something, a promise, that may be for somebody else? I mean, the Lord's asked me many, many times. He said, Shandy, just watching in my heart, He said, Shandy, what if I give you $1 million and I tell you the next day to give it away? When you need that money to pay bills or buy a house, are you willing to give or do carry something that looks like the answer to what you need, the answer to what you're praying for, and give it to somebody else? But are you also willing to carry it and receive it? Because I know people that pray for cars or pray for houses, and they pray for something. Ready? They pray for something, and they're like, just give me a car, Jesus. Give me a car. And they get a junker. And then they start complaining about the car. And I hear the Lord say, I'm teaching them how to ask me for what they really want. They complain about the car because it's a junker, but God gave them exactly what they asked for. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. He's after. We delight in our heart. We delight Him. We take delight in Him. And He, what? He gives us the desires of our heart. We need to ask what our desires are and ask God for them. Show me what my desires are that You've placed in me. You've wired me for. You're the best in mind. You are the best in mind for me. So what are the things that are best in mind for me that You want to bring about in my life? I'm tired of eating stones. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of eating stones. I'm not saying God gave me stones. I picked them up and ate them. And I wondered why things weren't pleasant in my life. And I complained why I got sick, or why I did this, or why I did that. And I'm tired of eating stones. I don't know if you are, but I am. Things that look like possibly the promise fulfilled in my life, and yet they were junk. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for giving us wisdom today, giving us insight, helping us understand how to see what you're doing and what you want to do in our life and how to give you control of the very things that you said are going to happen in our life. Help us, give us clarity to see what they are, to interpret them rightly. Lord, I even ask today that even during the worship time, even during that you would begin to heal people's hearts that have been hope deferred, that have been made sick because they've been waiting or they got disappointed. Lord, that you would just help your people, that they would be able to see that you are good, that even in disappointments and even things that hard things that have happened in their life, Lord, that you are still good and you want the best in their life. Even in situations, I can even hear the enemy like saying, well, what about this? This happened, or this hardship happened. Where was God in that? And God wants to show you. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring, not saying he was the cause of that hardship, but saying that he wants to bring healing and fruitfulness through it. That he would take a diamond that's in the rough, that he would take a diamond that's hidden in dirt in our life and show us how much its beauty and there's preciousness in it. Even though it may be sharp, it's still beautiful and still precious. So, Lord, I ask that you bring your healing to people's hearts today. Help us to believe you once again and believe you even more, that you are the God that fulfills our desires of our heart, that you're not going to give us a stone when we ask for bread. You're not going to give us a serpent when we ask for fish. I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.